You are the army of the Lord. And yet some of you are MIA. You're the soldier that no one wants to stand with because you won't stand your post. You know what to do and you say you love Jesus, but yet you never do what you should do. You don't worship at home. You come to church and you just wait to get through the music because you don't understand the heart of God that He's looking for worshipers. You disrespect the presence of the Lord because your heart is so far from Him. God doesn't want your lip service. He doesn't want you to warm a pew, to check off church from your to-do list. He's looking for those whose hearts are loyal to Him, who will stand their post. I don't know who you are, but God's really serious about this right now. You're the kind of soldier that will get others killed. And that's not good. Up until this point, you have been the one who said you believed, but by your actions, you haven't. And you definitely don't love and honor God, no matter what you say. Because you refuse to worship Him. You refuse to get into your word. You refuse to pray in the Spirit. You refuse to come to church. You feed yourself with everything except God. And then you wonder where He is and why you don't experience Him. And it's your own doing. The heart of the Lord is that you would stand your post. Begin now, start today, this very moment. Stand your post. What does that mean? Some people might say, I don't know what I'm called to. The first thing you're called to is a relationship with Him. That's where you start. And if you don't do it at home, then you're just a hypocrite. This is for the young people too. I hope you're listening. Oh, if only God would touch me. If only He'd meet me. Shame on you. He's already done everything He needed to do through Jesus Christ. What I see is like trenches where the army of the Lord is supposed to be, and there's a battle happening, but there's people and soldiers spread out who are not doing what they should, and so many die because of it. Right now, we're going to take a minute and just repent, okay? Father, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for not taking us seriously, for not understanding our role as Your soldiers, for having a life of prayerlessness and no fellowship with You, God. Forgive us, Lord. We say You're God, but we treat You like trash. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, I just repent right now for myself and on behalf of everyone in this room and everyone watching. Jesus' name, Lord. We turn from that wicked way. We set our affection and our eyes upon You, Lord. Lord, from this day forward, we choose to stand at the post. We choose to fellowship with You. And when our flesh begins whining and says, I don't want to, we say no to the flesh instead of no to You. That's our stand today, God. We're going to start saying yes to You and no to the flesh and not the other way around. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Everyone in this room, I want you just to stand just for a minute more. Everyone. And I don't care if you've never worshipped a day in your life. I want you to put your affection and your attention on Jesus right now. And say, I love You, Lord. You're holy, whatever it is. You just say those words. And if you say it over and over again, it doesn't matter. You begin. We need to begin. I love You, Jesus. I praise You. I worship You. I magnify You. I glorify You, God. Oh, Lord, I thank You. I thank You, Lord. I thank You, Lord. I thank You, God. I thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Praise Your holy name. Praise the holy name of Jesus. Oh, I bless you. I bless you, Lord. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. Oh, God, I bless you. I worship you. I bless you, God. Don't let somebody else sing your song. You worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you. I glorify you and magnify you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship. Oh, we worship you. We worship you. We worship. We worship you, God. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We stand our post, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we magnify you. Oh, Lord, we glorify you. Oh, God, we magnify you. Oh, Lord, we glorify you. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. You, Lord. We worship 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 you, Lord. Jesus, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we love you, 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 Lord. Let's just go into a time of tongues right now. Everyone in this room. Ubrianda la 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 bokuramba ta ta ra bakoto ra ba ta ra 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 ba koto. Oh, come on, everyone in this room, everyone watching, just pray in your heavenly language. Things are just going to be flipped a bit upside down. That's okay. We're just going to pray in tongues a little bit longer. Huriyan balarara bakura balarana matarara bakurya ndalarara bakata Oriyan balarara bakurya rarara bashandarara bakurya Riti di 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 rabando rayana rabakurya rarara kararara kai Ronda rarara makala yara motoria matakarara bashuto Iria tarama kali ondo rarara bashoto rarara bashikiri rarara Oliyan lalabatanda rarara rarara kota tatai Ya tata matota batakaryata Ulia lirianda raraba kundaria barara koto. Ira matala raraba ko bariata rama karabato roto rabatala rabata. Yetiri rabatala raba kundala labata rana bakundala labati tirara. Onda raba kumbra raraba katararai. O batatala labato barianda rara kitia tararabata. Omba rara raba kulia rara mashonda rara kitiri rarai. O bariamba rara bato rabata kaliranda rabato. Rabataka Ramadora Bashata Rabaku Iriara Makilia Rar, Romatali Andaraba Koba Rarabatai Ieramakota Rarakiti Rabatora Rararai Ielaramakoba Riandala Rabakota Rararai O Briandala Rabakonda Rabatanda Rabakonda Rabatunda Rararaki O Briandara Rabashota Rabakiti Ririkiri Oria Rarakiri Rarakara Wombariata raraba konda raraba ki raraba tonda raraba rai Yanda raraba to raraba shoya Kiri raraba. Is there anyone in this room tonight that's never been filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? I want you to come up front. I'm just going to pray for you. If you want to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit and your tongues, come up to the front right now. And everyone just keep praying in tongues. Everyone else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when you pray in the Spirit, you build yourself up unto your most holy faith. The Bible says that when you pray in the Spirit, you speak the mysteries of God. Hallelujah. You ever want to know the mysteries of God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If that's you, come on up. Hallelujah. It's exciting. The Bible says that the Father gives the Holy Spirit to us as a gift. It's a good gift. It's nothing to be feared. So if that's you and you need to receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, come on up here. Come on up. It's your time. If the Lord's asked me to do it, it's your time. Come on up. I'm not going to embarrass you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's still time. Still time. Hallelujah. You know you can receive the Holy Ghost right where you're standing. In Acts chapter 2, it says that this promise, the promise of the Holy Ghost, the promise of that infilling was to you and to your children, to all those who are far off. That means it's us. It's for you. It's a gift of the Father. And you can receive it now. So if you want to pray, anyone in this room or watching, we're just going to say a prayer. I want you to repeat after me. This is for the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And when we're done, I want everyone in the room just to pray in the Spirit a little bit longer. So if that's you, just repeat after me. Say, Holy Spirit, I desire you to fill me. I know that you are the promise of the Father. I need you. I receive you. And I receive that supernatural prayer language that's from the Father to me through you. Thank you for it. Fill me to overflowing in the name of Jesus. And I just begin to speak those words as they begin to rise up. You got to move your mouth, but he'll give you the words. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And now, Lord, I'm praying for a new filling, Lord. An infilling. Lord, this happened in the book of Acts. They were already filled, and then you showed up and you filled them again. Lord, we want to be overflowing with your presence. So I'm asking for that now, Lord. I'm asking for that now. Holy Spirit, fill. Fill each person, every heart, everyone watching. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We receive from you, Lord. We receive from you. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you say thank you to the Lord tonight? Can you say, I receive, Lord, from you tonight? Say, I love you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I can't begin to tell you, or I can try to begin to tell you how strong that impression from the Lord was earlier about taking our walks seriously. man, very, very serious, very serious. You do not want to be the one that no one can rely on in the kingdom, right? We want to be the one that can be relied on because we're doing what we need to be doing in God. And that is different for everybody. But whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing for God, you need to be doing it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. Everyone say this. I know I don't make you repeat after me a lot, but say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
I am the righteousness
of God in Christ Jesus. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Okay, you know where that's found in the Bible? Let's go there. 2 Corinthians 5. We need to go there because I think sometimes we hear certain things. We're the righteousness of God in Christ, but if you don't know where it is in the Bible, how do you know that it's true? Really? We have to, you know, how many times have you heard from this pulpit that you need to look at the word and look into it yourself, just like the Brians, to see if things be so? So it's not enough for anyone or a preacher to say something to you. You need to know it in the word. And truthfully, if you know the word, when you start hearing preaching that doesn't line up to the word, you're going to know it too. And that's amazing. That's a really wonderful thing. Not too long ago, I heard a preacher say that we're still sinners and just saved by grace. And I can't even handle it. That's like so 101. You know, it's so like if you don't believe that you're born again and you are the righteousness of God in Christ, every single thing in your life is going to be filtered through that, and you're not going to be who God's called you to be. Now, I also want to make the point that sometimes we focus so much on our calling, and it really becomes a self thing. So the same problem that people have with like inner healing, you know, when inner healing goes overboard, where you're always focusing on yourself, that's what it can be like if you're so focused only on your calling for the sake of your calling. You have a calling, I have a calling, so that we can do God's work. You know, it's all about Him and His heart. It's not about just us feeling fulfilled in life, although that's a byproduct, but it's really about fulfilling God's heart. So we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, right?
Yes.
Ephesians 4:24, that don't go there, but, you know, we're created in righteousness and true holiness, right? Okay, but the one where it talks about, you know, being the righteousness of God in Christ, it's in 2 Corinthians 5, and it's verse 21, but we're going to start by reading verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Because Jesus was the one who became sin, right? Who knew no sin. That's why we can say I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because there in Ephesians says it too. That means that you're not a sinner saved by grace. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what you are. That's who I am. That's who you are. And we say that, and I think some people struggle with the fact that they don't really believe it. And I think there are moments where we all don't believe it, if we're going to be real honest. You know, but I think there comes a point when you start knowing that who you are is really the spirit you. And when you mess up, you still remain the righteousness of God in Christ. That's a kind of a hard one to overcome. What do you mean when I mess up, I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. 2 Peter 1:23 says that you were born again of incorruptible seed. That means your spirit, man, is incorruptible. It's holy. It's righteous. Whether or not we feel like it, right? Whether or not we feel like it, that's who we are. In addition to all of that, when we get born again, and we've become new creatures like we just read, we're also placed in Christ, which means that everything that He is available to us. And that's incredible. So let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read some of that. Again, you need to see it all the time, right? You should love your word. You know, you should do this and be like, I hug you. I love you. Hey, it's your word. I hug you. Yes, you can do it. See? you guys have a favorite, you know, Bible, you know? I don't mean version. I mean like, you know, the one you love. Like, yeah, yeah. Okay, Ephesians. We're just going to read one verse. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And what's that next word? In Christ. So once we are born again, we are in Christ and we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Verse 4 says we're chosen in him. Verse 6 says that we are accepted in the beloved. Verse 7 says that we are redeemed and forgiven in him. Verse 11 says that we have an inheritance in him. I mean, honestly, you guys know this is the in him book, right? Just read it and just everything that says in him, it's who you are. It's incredible if you have self-worth issues. Seriously, get into this, read this book 30 to 50 times, make it a part of you because you're going to start thinking like this if you do that. So if you're someone who is struggling with depression or like, you know, feeling bad about yourself, get into Ephesians. I don't care if you've read it 30 times before. Start now again and just keep reading it and saying it over yourself, you know. Then jump over to chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? You know where God placed him? Look back over at 120. He placed Jesus, he raised him from the dead, and he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And look what he did. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So if you're in Christ and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, where are we? At the right hand of the Father. And what did he do? He put all principalities and powers and all those things under his feet. So where's all principality and powers and everything for us? Under our feet. Remember that? That song, he's under my feet, he's under my feet. You know that song, right? This is where we get it from. So many times we sing songs and we have no idea that it's word because we haven't availed ourselves of spending time in the word. That means that you can't keep blaming the enemy for bad stuff in your life because you've been seated and placed in him and the enemy is under your feet. And that's not to say that the enemy doesn't attack, because he does. He's your enemy. He hates us. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But we have the victory in Christ. And that's the difference, isn't it? Yes, Satan attacks. Absolutely. He hates us. But we have been seated with Christ, and he's under our feet. And we have to constantly remind him that that's where he is. I mean, if he's attacking you, remind him. That's where you are. I don't listen to you. That's what we do. But we can't keep saying, well, it's because Satan's really on me. He might be on you, but you have the victory. I have the victory. Amen? And do you know, why did God place us in Christ? Do you know why? Go to John 17. John 17. I love this when I saw it. Oh, I thought, oh, Jesus. All right, John 17, verse 24. This is Jesus talking. Look what he says. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus wanted us there. That's why we're seated there. He requested, it was his request. He said, I will that they be where I am. He's asking the Father for that. And the Father honored that. That's how much Jesus loves us. He said, I want them with me. I want them where I am. I want them seated with me. And the Father said, done. And we're seated with Christ. We're seated with God in Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father. That's incredible to me. So many benefits, so many blessings. If you don't feel loved, just think about that. Jesus loved you so much that he asked the Father that you'd be seated with him in heavenly places, that we may behold his glory and know the love wherewith God loved him. It's amazing. Isn't that incredible? That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves me. It's fantastic. Go over to Romans 8. I know everyone knows Romans so well. Romans 8. I'm like, your Bible should fall open, but then you have to go in the right direction. I went the wrong direction there for a sec. All right, Romans 8. Let's read, starting at verse 1. More promises, more of who you are. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, listen to this part, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. What are you instead supposed to be indebted to? For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Amen. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So amazing. Look at all those promises. Do you know that you're a child of God? Do you know that you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ? Think of all the things that we've just read just in this, you know, last 10 minutes or so about who Christ has created us to be, who he has made us to be. It's amazing to me. So then the question becomes, okay, so we're going to segue to a little different idea here. If this is who we are, then why do we sometimes struggle with things that we shouldn't be struggling with anymore? Why is there some things where it's like, man, I should be way beyond this, and I'm not? So that's what we're going to look at now. Let's go back. You can just follow along with me with Romans 8. I want to take kind of like the opposite view. Verse 5, we're just going to do 5 to 13. I'm just going to give you a little synopsis. Verse 5 says that if you are after the flesh, you mind the things of the flesh. Verse 6 says to be carnally minded is death. Verse 7 says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. Verse 8 says that if we are in the flesh, we cannot please God. Verse 9 says that those in Christ are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, and that if we don't have the Spirit, we are not Christ. Verse 10 says that if Christ be in me, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11 says that if the life of Christ dwells in me, then he who raised up Christ will also quicken or give life to our mortal bodies. Verse 12 says that because of this, we are in debt to Christ to live according to our new spirit and not our flesh. And verse 13, big point here, says that if we live after the flesh, we will die. But if we do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body through the Spirit, we will live. Now, didn't we just talk about how you're born again? How can you die if you're born again? Jude says it's twice dead. And did you notice the theme there kept going back to our minds and the carnal and the flesh? Did you notice that it kept going back there? Let's go back to Ephesians 2. And it's just going to kind of reinforce the same things we were reading. Pastor actually was touching on a lot of this stuff this morning, which is so wonderful when God does that. But Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1, says, "You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin." So again, he's talking about that quickening is that life. He gave you life. "You were dead in trespasses and sin." Verse 2, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Okay, so this is who we were, right? You notice that? Let's look at what verse 3 says. "We fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind." So our minds were present in that old life, weren't they? So sometimes we think about we got to crucify the flesh, but our minds remember all those lusts. Our minds remember all the sin. Our minds remember the way that we lived without Christ. See, when we get born again, our minds don't get born again, right? What does the Bible say? We have to renew our minds. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We must renew our minds. But what are we going to renew our minds to? The Word of God and His ways. See, there's this thing that's happening right now, and it actually annoys me so much. It's all this self-help nonsense that you see everywhere. Because it's so, when it's devoid of God, it's not going to give you real peace. It's not going to give you real help. You don't renew your mind to just your dreams, your happiness, you know, your ideas and goals. It's not wrong to have goals, obviously, but that's not what you're renewing your mind to. What do you renew your mind to? The Word of God. If you never get into the Word of God, your mind is being renewed by something, but it's not the Lord. And what happens is our memories are really powerful, aren't they? Your mind has no problem bringing up something from the past. And if we don't renew our minds to God's Word and His ways, then it won't be long before the mind reminds us of a past sin that you actually enjoyed. So you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but you're not filling yourself and renewing your mind with the Word of God. So your mind starts working and doing its own thing and being like, "Oh, remember when you did this apart from God? Remember when you liked that?" And if you don't immediately shut down that voice, cast down those imaginations, and start filling yourself with the Word of God, it's not long before what you think, you act. Your thoughts become then the action in your life. And this is why people start saying, "I must still be a sinner. I'm not really the righteousness of God in Christ." That's a complete lie. Aren't you the righteousness of God in Christ? You are. But you feel like in those moments that you're never going to be free of that sin, whatever it is for you. You feel like your desires will never change. You're never really going to be able to walk in victory. And all that's happening is that you spent more time remembering the old man than renewing your mind to the new man. Let me say that again. You've spent more time remembering the old man than renewing your mind to the new man. So what we need to do is stop, when things go wrong, stop trying to analyze and reason out, why is this happening if I'm the righteousness of God? And then reject the things of the Spirit. What we need to do is realize, wait a second, that's not the real me. I need to begin to renew my mind to the things of the Spirit so that I don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh and that enmity in that mind that's against God, that remembers all the stuff. I want to take this a step further. Who's grown up in church? Quick show of hands. A lot of people. Sometimes we struggle too. Why? It's like I don't remember a time when I didn't know Jesus, but I do remember a time when I rebelled against him and did my own thing. Your mind still remembers those things too. Okay? Your mind is so powerful. A lot of what happens is that we don't understand the power of the unrenewed mind. That's really the trap. That's the trap. We have to renew our mind to the things of God. Otherwise, your mind is what will take you out. Your mind is the thing that you have to keep renewed and strong in the Lord. Otherwise, you're going to start doing all the stuff that you've been thinking about. And some of that is not just big sin. I think God is getting to the nitty-gritty with a lot of us. Most of us are not out committing adultery and fornicating and perpetual liars. Most of us aren't doing that. Most of us aren't drunkards, right? Am I right in this? But there's little things that God's going to start asking you about that if you decide, no, I'm going to not do it that way and I'm still going to do it my own way, it's the same thing. God's getting to the nitty-gritty on purpose. It's because he wants us to be that army, that end-time army that he's rising up. We need to take that seriously. When I, by grace, received the message of Christ through faith, I died. That old self and that old nature died. And just like all the benefits that we were talking about of being in Christ, another benefit is that we were also baptized into his death. We may not think that's a benefit, but it's a huge benefit because Jesus did the work for us. The moment we received him, we were baptized into that death, okay? Then we were raised up to life with him. We got that born again spirit through what he did. It's all in him. But for years without that life, your mind lived according to the old flesh man and it still remembers sin. So our job is to fill our minds with the things of God so that we will not fulfill the lusts of the old way of doing things. I have to say this because God keeps bringing it up. When I was young and we moved a lot, you guys know some of my story, but what I remember the first day of fourth grade, I decided I'm going to be strong and people aren't going to mess with me. Okay. I didn't realize at the time I became my own shield. I became my own strength. And when I really got on fire for Jesus, one of the things he really started dealing with was trusting him. And the other thing is, if you protect yourself and people don't mess with you, then you just take them down verbally and, you know, whatever. It's just, you can do whatever you want. That was one of the first things that the Lord started dealing with me on. But in relation to doing things God's way, this is what I'm getting to. If I was ever in a situation where I either didn't look good or wasn't good at something, and I was good at a lot of stuff, it's just the kind of person I was. I was good at stuff. Okay, I was good in school, I was good at sports, I was good at music, I was good at games, I was competitive, there's a lot of things I was good at. And if I wasn't good at something, I would just get good at it. Because by golly, I was going to be good. I was going to be, right? When you walk with God, you can't just try harder like that. How you defeat things in your flesh is through the Spirit. So my mind remembers what it's like to be strong and to be good at stuff and to be powerful and not let people mess with you. And in those moments when things hit you, because my goodness, it's easy to get offended sometimes, it's easy to be bothered by people, I have a choice. Am I going to go to that old mind or am I going to let God lead me and renew my mind to how he would have me do something? And God has been working on this with me for like 25 years. So I know I see a lot of growth in this. And there's a lot of times now people are like, you don't deal with that person. And it's just because God has so changed me. You know, there's moments where I do get angry still. And I'm like, why are you acting like this? This is wrong. And, you know, you kind of want to. But what we have to do is just keep turning that person over to the Holy Ghost and keep our heart free of any offense. But you know that if I were to rise up in my own strength, because I remember, my mind remembers what it was like when I was my own shield, when I was my own strength, it's the same as if I were to go out and sin. That's what I mean by the nitty-gritty. We need to rely on God to that level. That's where he's bringing us. So that we're walking down the street and, you know, I don't know, war breaks out or something's happening and you can hear God's instructions to you. Or you know how to minister to somebody, or he can tell you turn right or to turn left. Like, this is how fine-tuned he wants to get us to. Don't justify the mindsets, even if they seem good. One time the Lord was talking to me about my strength, saying it wasn't of him. I was like, what? I thought I was strong because of you. He said to me, you know, your problem is that you lack meekness. You know what meekness is? People think it's pride, but you know what it is? It's partially that. But it's being your own shield and not letting him be your protector. And so somebody in this room needed to hear that, because I just came to me. So take it for what it is. Learn to rely on him in those little things. Don't go under the old way of doing things, even for the things that you think are good. Rely on him for every single thing. So renewing our minds. Remember Romans 8:13 said that if we live according to the flesh, we would die. That means that you can be born again, but if you start living according to those old ways, you will die again. Instead, same verse says we are to put to death the deeds of the flesh and live according to the new nature that was given to us through Christ. The other day, I was in bed. It was around 6 a.m. I woke up suddenly with this sentence going through my mind, and I knew God wanted me to, you know, share it with the body of Christ. It was a play on words, kind of like a verse that was kind of like opposite. Well, this is, but I knew what God was getting at. Okay, so this, let me just gonna tell you what he said. He said, every time I sin, I die and my flesh revives. Every time I sin, I die and my flesh revives. Think about it. If you're the righteousness of God in Christ, if we're the righteousness of God in Christ, that's the real us, right? That's who you are. Then every time I choose to go against that righteousness, it's like I'm crucifying my spirit to the cross instead of my flesh. Now, technically, you know we're not doing this. You understand the image you guys are trying to say. If that's the real you, and you constantly choose your flesh over your spirit, it's as if you're just crucifying that spirit over and over again. That's why there's so many people who end up in hell who did once call upon the name of the Lord. They kept crucifying their spirit instead of their flesh. And eventually their spirit didn't get up. Do you understand the imagery here? If that is the real you and you keep shutting that voice and killing that voice, eventually your spirit doesn't rise from that, if you want it bad enough. That's why the Bible talks about habitual sin, about lifestyles of walking and all this stuff. Okay? So we need to start crucifying the right part of us. And this doesn't just happen by trying harder. I just talked about that. Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 5. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. Nothing. I mean, I know we can walk around and we can use our legs every day and we can drive the car and we can go to work and we can do the groceries. Yes, but when we try to deal with the things of the spirit or the flesh with our own strength, it's not going to happen. Because why? Because eventually our strength fails. Apart from him, we can do nothing. We already read in Romans chapter 8 how it's through the Spirit that we do mortify the deeds of the flesh, right? And then at 8:26, we know this, it's famous. What do? The Holy Spirit helps with our infirmities and our weaknesses. He prays through us. When we don't know what to pray, he prays through us with groanings which cannot be uttered, right? We know that praying in the Spirit does this, that deals with those weaknesses in us. The second that we just start trying harder and doing our better, and listen, we do have to try. We do have to make decisions. We do have to say, I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do this. Of course, of course, of course. But I'm saying if you want lasting, permanent change, all of us, we have to walk in the Spirit. That's really what it is. So the encouragement tonight is to walk in the Spirit, to do what we know to do, to pray in the Spirit. You know, your mind starts wandering and remembering all that stuff. You cast it down and you pull it back and you say, no, we're not going to think that. We're going to think what the Word of God says, and we're going to start getting the Word into us. We're going to begin to pray in the Spirit. Amazing. Look at the beginning of this verse 5. It says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Pastor Jim was all around here this morning. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. We are to abide in Him. It's through that abiding and that fellowship and that time with Him that change will happen. And our part in verse 7 says, if my words abide in you. God is not going to shove these words into your ears and your eyes. Okay? We have to do that part. That's our part. That's what we have to do. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Yes, that's in our spirit, and we need to believe it. Okay? But when we're attacked with all this stuff, whether it be the enemy or our flesh or the mind or anything that's going on, we have to do is realize that that stuff only is put to death through the Spirit, through walking the Spirit, knowing the Word of God, getting it into us, speaking out loud. You know, sometimes, do you guys do that? Do you speak out loud to these things? A thought comes like, no, I'm not going to believe that. That's not of the Lord. That's not who I am. And if you don't do that, start doing that. Because sometimes your ears and you need to hear what's in your heart and what's coming out of your mouth. That's the truth in the Word of God. Amen? The victory comes by walking in the Spirit. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are. That's who I am. That's who you are. And when we stop living like that, a lot of other things are going to start creeping in. So we need to take authority over that mind. We need to keep the right part of us crucified, which just means keep it dead. Stop reversing it. Kind of like that word earlier. If you're in the army of God, be a soldier, for heaven's sakes. Like, do it. I want to know that the person next to me in the battle has prayed and knows the word and stands in God. You know? Don't you want that? So it's who we are, but you know, we have to walk in it. And we have to do it. Amen? Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Amen. That's who you are. It's who I am. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise you. We bless you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm asking for a reminder when we begin to say things that do not line up to your word, when we begin to say things that are contrary to who we are in you, that we would say no and we'd stop it, that we would not let our minds remember all those things and go down all those paths so that we begin to sin against you, Lord. That is death. It's death. It's not who we are. We're no longer Romans 7 guy. But if we constantly allow Romans 7 memories to come back, Lord, it won't be long before we're doing those things again. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, God. I thank you that we are the righteousness of God in Christ and for all the benefits that are in you. Lord, we love you so much and we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.